This is John Darnielle from the Mountain Goats. You're listening to Val.
Like a fever, the news broke. But unlike a fever, it brought no relief. For the news, from the perspective of the national black community, wasn't good. The 12-member grand jury in Ferguson investigating the killing of a black teenager, Mike Brown, returned with no true bill. Legalese for no charges, no indictment, no case. Despite the fact that Brown was unarmed, no charge. The name Ferguson joins an ancient line of place names of pain, loss, and black death. Places like Birmingham, Philadelphia, and now Ferguson. It'll have a meaning all its own. For young people, many of whom are new to activism, who felt compelled to hit the streets in protest of unbridled police power and legalized impunity, the challenge will be how to continue, how to fight on, and even what the fight is. Some, brokenhearted, will flee this ugly episode and try, perhaps unsuccessfully, to seal such a memory away. Others will grow in radicalism, convinced that this case is the very epitome of racist injustice. But Ferguson may prove a turning point, a point in time when the nation chose the wrong road ahead. From Imprisoned Nation, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
These commentaries are recorded by Noel Hanrahan of Prison Radio.
It's 4:02. You're listening to Valley Free Radio. And this is Out There. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring.
3 years old.
Usually on Out There, I cover daily living topics in Northampton, but today we're going to go south, all the way to Georgia. The first, I don't know, half hour or so of this show are clips from this past weekend's School of the Americas Watch gathering at Fort Benning near Columbus, Georgia. There's some bilingual talks, helicopter surveillance, music, and chanting. Later on in the show, I was hoping to do a Howard Zinn reading, but the snowstorm affected some of my preparation for today. Just trying to think about, you know, the people that were here before the Europeans as Thanksgiving arrives. Pacifica Radio Network is going to be playing more about this, and I'm trying to find out exactly when and what show or program that will be on. If I can find that later, I'll let you know. And to close out today's show, I'll share some of my family's thoughts and gratitudes about Thanksgiving. I was in Kentucky seeing some of my family this past weekend before I went down to Georgia. So on my way down south, I bus, biked, scootered, hitchhiked, carpooled, made my way to Columbus, Georgia for the SOA Watch gathering. Actually, the School of the Americas, it's now called WINSIC, Western Hemispheric Institute for Security Cooperation. It was renamed in 2001. I think it got a lot of bad media publicity. So the school was renamed, but the mission is the same, which is to build cooperation with Latin American militaries who typically protect resource extraction at the expense of people who live on the land. And the result has been the deaths and imprisonment of people who get in the way, and impunity for the perpetrators. The policies have also led to waves of migration from Latin America to the United States. Some famous or infamous School of the Americas graduates include Manuel Noriega, former dictator of Panama, those responsible for massacres of Jesuit priests and nuns in El Salvador in 1989, and entire villages such as El Mozote. More recently, I think this school is training for like counter-narcotics operations. They've also been very involved with training for the prisons in Colombia. Some of the speakers that I'll play for today's show have a lot more firsthand knowledge of exactly what's what's going on in their countries, what some of the effects of the school are. We'll start out with a band from Los Angeles called Olmeca. They came to the gathering. Yeah, there was a pretty amazing stage lineup. So the gathering was a weekend-long thing, and Saturday and Sunday there was stage presence.
You are my people! I'm inspired. I wanted to read something to you. We are all aware of private money benefits from enslavement. There are 32,000 people disappeared in Mexico, and there are 32,000 beds to fill in detention centers on a daily here in the United Snakes of America. Police chiefs from the U.S. trained Mexico's police to eradicate street vendors, pave way for tourism and private investment. They clean and clear the areas from the unwanted. Brooklyn, Mexico City, Pilsen in Chicago, Mount Pleasant in D.C. Military gear sales drops in foreign countries and they rise in local cities throughout the U.S. We know foreign policy creates job loss in the U.S. and in turn creates migration. Poor whites who lost their jobs due to free trade agreements should stand in solidarity with undocumented families, for they are both victims of the same policies. We must be part of a creative resistance, not one that only pushes back, but one that pushes forward to create a path for dignity amidst the corruption and inhumanity of the machine. Because we're not only against these neoliberal policies, but we are for humanity. Humanity is love and creation. Create out of love and affirm our dignity in this world. If this system denies my dignity, humanity, then I say, I am Ayotzinapa, I am a free thinker, I am a freedom fighter, I am a believer in peace, and therefore I am a revolutionary. We're going to give you one little sample of the music that we're going to play tonight. Feel free to stand up, my people, we need energy. I just flew out from Los Angeles to be here with you. I want to make sure that everybody hears us, left, right, in the back, that we feel good about what we're doing here tonight, because this is about creation. Repeat after me. Yo, rock, rock with it. Oh, come on. Rock, rock with it. All my people say it with me. Rock, rock with it. That's right. Come on. In a nation of consumption and vast manipulation, people make you feel less if you ain't got the latest. If this is the reason why everyone is tense, then you can have my peace, because it just don't make sense. Because it's all a pretense, a pretext to access, a way to define your progress. But what's progress when you got limited access? And access, and what's the access relative to conquest? Yeah, it most certainly is, but it's only a matter of time, so rock with it. I most certainly do rock, rock with it. Come on, people across the globe, rock with it. Yeah, these are coming together according to the planet. Though your life doesn't seem complete from where you're standing, though you'd rather struggle, maintain your better judgment. Only a matter of time before you join the movement. Yeah, rock, rock with it. S-O-A, watch. Rock, rock with it. Yeah, Omeka's in the building. Rock, rock with it. We are against it. Rock, rock with it. Yo, S-O-A, watch. Come on, everybody. And if you feel what I'm saying, yeah, Omeka's in the place. Remember your foundation. Remember where you come from. This life is filled with trials and tribulations. That's a short memory part of this nation. Then you wonder why you can't remember your intention. So if you understand, don't just clap your hands, man. Take it with you, share it with the fam. Cause after all is said and done, it's gonna be up to you to do what you can. Cause they can break you down or tear you apart. Or if they make you break it down right from the start. Or if they eat you up and dark in your heart. Or if you be the kind of light out of the dark, yeah. They most certainly can. And I can bet you on the dollar that it's part of the plan. We ain't talking papers and cents, we're talking common sense. All my people rock, rock with it. Let's go, hey, watch, come on. Let me hear it loud and clear. I'm back to the place.
So that's a band called Olmeca that was playing at the SOA Watch Gathering. Next, I want to play a few words from Father Roy Bourgeois. Well, I guess he's not father anymore. He was a Catholic priest who who spoke out in favor of women's ordination. But he's a Vietnam vet, and he's started School of the Americas Watch after living in Central America. And he sort of spearheaded the movement about 25 years ago.
And it's a sacred moment. It's sacred because once again, we come to keep alive the memories of tens of thousands of our sisters and brothers of these countries whose soldiers have trained here and continue to be trained here, and who go back to their home countries and have caused untold suffering and death. Those who have been killed, disappeared, tortured by these graduates cannot be here, nor can their loved ones who continue to grieve for them. And for that reason, we gather once again in the name of solidarity. We want them to know they are not alone, that their struggle is our struggle, and that we will never be silenced. And those whose voices have been taken away, we will speak loudly and clearly for them. They will not be forgotten. And for that reason, this is a very sacred time. As we process in our solemn funeral procession, we will remember them. We will remember their loved ones who continue to struggle. And we want them to know that we will continue to gather here every year until this school of assassins is shut down. And I just hope that our presence here today, this sacred moment in this sacred day, will continue to empower us, that it will continue to give us hope. And of course, that joy, that we will not allow our anger. Yes, we're angry, but we will not allow that to dominate us. We will hold on to our hope and the memories of all of our loved ones who have died in these countries. Muchas gracias.
That was Father Roy, that was Roy Bourgeois, founder of School of the Americas Watch. He lives in a tiny apartment just outside the gates of Fort Benning, Georgia. Another speaker there was a man from Homies Unidos, from Los Angeles again, I believe. And they do they work with ex-gang members.
Homies Unidos, Alex Sanchez.
Hello, everyone. My name is Alex, Walter, Daniela, and Edwin. They're graduates of a youth leadership program that they went through this summer. They were all involved in different things in the community that were negative. And now they're here. They're here learning about why is it that we're here in the United States and not in our own home country. Why is it that U.S. intervention in our countries has had us forced to migrate into this country, ironically, the cause of us separating from our families? Today we walked to Stewart Detention Center. In 1994, I was deported after doing time in prison. I went back to a country that was devastated after a war. Devastated. And they were using deportation as a tool to get rid of us. Never understanding or even thinking the impact that was going to have on our society in our home countries. Now we have hundreds of thousands of children fleeing Central America because of the violence that the mass deportation has created behind the lack of opportunities, the lack of reentry programs for them, the lack of employment, the lack of interest by those governments in Central America to look after their own people and have been co-opted and forced sometimes to follow the imperialistic mentality of the United States to force economic policies in our country like CAFTA,
right on,
that destroyed our economy. And then they tell us not to come. And then they ask us, what are you doing here? And then they're accused of pushing our children to migrate. The School of the Americas has been the cause of our forced migration during the 80s. And their continued involvement in our countries has created the problem that we have now with gangs and poverty and violence. The International Law Enforcement Academy in El Salvador is an arm of WINSEC. They keep teaching military how to attack us. They keep using gangs as a pretext, like they've done in all of our communities, as a pretext to militarize our community and mass incarcerate our young black and brown brothers and sisters. Over 2.1 million people incarcerated in the United States. Other millions in detention centers. And we're supposed to be happy that the president gave at least 4 million people an opportunity to stay here?
Not enough.
He's supposed to be making penance? How much more can we take? How much more do we have to see our young girls, our young men being exploited? And how much more do we see them die in our streets, in Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, Georgia, and Central America? We got to look out for our young ones, people. And that's why we're here, and we expect to keep coming back next year as well. Thank you.
That's it. Alex Sanchez, Hombres Unidos. Let's hear it strong. Come on, all.
I should just say that with some of these recordings, there's a bit of background noise. I was there on stage crew, and a lot of my recordings are from behind the stage. So one of the things that also happened this weekend, I think Alex Sanchez mentioned this, was there was a gathering of about 1,000 people that marched to Stewart Detention Center in Lumpkin, Georgia, a little bit south of Columbus, to demand immigration reform. Next, I have a little piece from the Peace Poets.
By their darkness, I will hold this piece of light
that I've seen in children's eyes that reminds me why we fight.
And from right here, I spit the depths of it.
My tears cry beside the desolate.
And there bring no amount of hours.
And no governmental powers.
It'll sicken me with mediocrity.
Or turn me to a coward.
Because radical means rebuilding.
All the peace that they devour.
And just in case y'all didn't hear us,
let us spit it louder. I want peace from the Bronx to Baghdad to Sierra Leone. Peace for every man, woman, and child without a home. I want peace in Bolivia, Mexico, and Ecuador. Peace built on policies to stop keeping my people poor. I want peace on my block between us and the police. I want peace between America and the entire Middle East. I want peace so bad, but I need to want it more. I need to want it more than these weapons companies want poor.
And if you look, you will see that in my eyes.
They are bloodshot red because real men are not afraid to cry.
And I'm not afraid to say that I believe peace is possible.
But that is radical, my people.
And radical means to the root.
And if we have the courage to admit it, the root of peace is me and you.
Remember, life should not be easy for any.
While life is this hard for this many.
So if I ever lose my radical point of view, spit this piece to wake me up, and I promise I'll come back to you.
Those were the Peace Poets speaking this past weekend at Fort Benning, Georgia, at the School of the Americas Watch Gathering. I'm not sure where they were from. So you've been listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio, 103.3 WXOJ, Northampton. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. If you're out there in the snow today, be really careful. It's a really nice evening for a walk. But I'm not sure about if you're like driving or riding your bike. It was pretty hard biking earlier. I've been playing clips from this weekend's gathering in Georgia. The gathering has been going on for about 25 years now, since the anniversary of the massacre of the Jesuits in El Salvador. And there's a strong tradition of nonviolence and a pretty good, pretty big presence of religious communities, especially Catholics. The gathering included a weekend of educational teach-ins and workshops, and a Eucharist led by women priests, a giant puppet show, a march to Stewart Immigrant Detention Center, evening concerts, and a full stage program of speakers and musicians at the gates of Fort Benning. There was also a funeral procession, a symbolic funeral procession where the crowd carried crosses with names of some of the people who've been killed by School of the Americas graduates. And during this procession, names of the victims are read. Just a few of the many, many victims. And as the names are read, hundreds or thousands of vigilers leave their crosses at the gate, or we put them in the chain link fence that's been erected just for the weekend's protest. Sometimes there's also symbolic coffins or die-ins, and sometimes people do civil disobedience. I think there were a couple of people this weekend that were arrested at Fort Benning, and five people at the Stewart Detention Center. Actually, the people that do civil disobedience by crossing over the fence, well, actually, there were three fences erected this weekend by the police or the army. I wasn't really sure who was doing which kind of surveillance enforcement. I'm not quite sure. I'm trying to find a word that's not a euphemism for, like, security, insecurity. But the rest of the year, when it's not the weekend of this protest, Fort Benning's an open army base, and there's a four-lane road. At this particular entrance, there's a bunch of entrances, but at this particular entrance on Fort Benning Road, it's a four-lane road that passes into the base, and anyone can come or go freely. But for the weekend of this gathering, traffic's diverted to other entrances, and the gates are closed, and additional fences are put up. Actually, School of the Americas Watch was originally denied the permit for this year to have the gathering there, but they had a petition drive and worked really hard and were able to finally get the permit. There's more details about School of the Americas Watch and all this process on their website, soawatch.org. So during this weekend, there's also heightened crowd control and surveillance. So I arrived Thursday afternoon to help with Friday's stage setup. The gathering at the gate where the stage was, it wasn't until Saturday or Sunday. But by Thursday afternoon, the police had erected chain link fences along both sides of the road leading into Fort Benning for about a 2-block stretch. They had set up temporary police quarters in two separate buildings near the gate, as well as a couple of big canvas tents along the road. They also brought in four-wheelers and golf cart-like vehicles. Friday afternoon, they were finishing some of their surveillance system, where they had mounted cameras and information relay systems on many of the utility poles along the road where the crowd would gather. At one point Friday afternoon, a day before any of the crowds had gathered, I walked over to a few guys that were working on installing the surveillance system. And I was at the edge of the roadway where they were working on it. And I just asked them what they were doing, and I tried to make conversation. They didn't really have much to say, and they declined to be interviewed. But the man who appeared to be given directions said, "I would appreciate it if you'd leave us alone so we can do our job. Besides, you're a hazard in the roadway." And then when he said that to me, I was standing on the edge of the roadway between their large truck and trailer and the chain link fence that had been erected. I wanted to point out the absurdity of what he'd said, but I just turned and walked away. I felt like to say anything would provoke hostilities, when what I wanted was human connection. I didn't like how it felt to let his accusation go unchallenged. Like the lies that float all around us, we start to believe them if we hear them enough. Which reminds me, I read that there was a Wind Gallup poll that came out in 2013 that asked people in 65 countries, which country is the greatest threat to world peace? And the United States was number one, with three times as many votes as the second place country, Pakistan. But anyway, back to the School of the Americas watch gathering. As I was working with stage crew, the police were setting up their presence. In addition to hundreds of officers, long fences, surveillance, having temporary stations at several buildings, and it also appeared the South Columbus Elementary School, they also brought in, on the back of a pickup truck, a sniper tower lift. It was like a lift you might use to do construction 25 feet up. And one more thing. A helicopter was stationed in the backyard of an apartment complex a couple of blocks from the gate. Occasionally it would take off, fly overhead around the gathering, and circle back down and land. But I have to say, it really wasn't much more annoying than any other helicopter that passes overhead. But it did seem unnecessary and a waste. It'd be amazing to get a dollar figure of how much money was spent by the police on surveillance. It was all for a gathering of about 1,000 people. And a gathering of people with a 25-year history of nonviolence. At one point, Friday evening, when about 10 of us were setting up the stage, a Fox News reporter with a TV camera on his shoulder came over to us and asked us if there were any real protesters among the group. We all kind of looked at each other and finally, one guy agreed to speak with him, and the TV guy said something like, "You have a pretty elaborate stage and sound set up here. Like, how do you pay for all this?" And the man from our group spoke of personal contributions and small, like, fundraising campaigns. But I'd like to know, how did the police pay for their elaborate surveillance setup? On Sunday morning, around dawn, from where I was sleeping under the stage, I overheard a man who I assumed to be a police officer say something about doing a bomb check. Oh, he didn't find anything. I was never quite sure if the police were there to protect us or intimidate us or what. And if they were there to protect us from hostile infiltrators, that's kind of ironic because in the past, provocateurs have been planted in the events, I think by law enforcement, I don't know. At the entrance to the area that the police had barricaded off for the gathering, I read this sign.
Prohibited items, alcohol, glass, empty gas, Freon tanks, weapons not permitted under the section, whatever. Ropes, chains, locks, PVC tubing, rocks, bricks, concrete, marbles, ball bearings, wire cutters, ladders, or tools that can be used to defeat a gate, bottles or containers filled with unknown substances, super soakers, squirt gun, BB gun, pellet gun, slingshot, spray paint, hairspray, any flammable liquid or gel, mask, including gas mask, bandanas when worn over the face, large sticks, large heavy crosses. All the cops are turning around to look at me now. It says, large sticks slash crosses will be defined as no longer than 18 inches, wider than 1.5 inches, and thicker than 1/4 inch. Only crosses smaller than these dimensions will be allowed in. Now, they've turned back around again. Here I go.
That was a list of prohibited items from the gathering at the School of the Americas Watch event this weekend. So here are a few more speakers.
We have speakers from some of the many, many countries throughout the Americas and the world that are affected because of U.S. military choices of violence. And so at this time, we begin our No Mas litany.
Gathering to stand in the tradition of Gandhi, Aung San Suu Kyi, Dorothy Day, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Cesar Chavez, Ken Sara Wewa, and all those who have gone before us in the way of justice. We can name only some victims here, but they call to memory the other hundreds of thousands who have suffered and died. May our witness honor them all.
SOA violence and the racist system of domination it represents are a continuation of the Trail of Tears that ravaged the indigenous people of this country. We hold up the ongoing struggle of our indigenous sisters and brothers who first lived in this land. We cry,
No mas, no more, we must stop the dirty war.
La guerra contra las drogas está causando estragos en las comunidades, sobre todo desde que Felipe Calderón intensificó la guerra a petición de los Estados Unidos después de su victoria electoral fraudulenta en el 2006. Enrique Peña Nieto, elegido en 2012, ha continuado y exacerbado la militarización y la violencia sin sentido, en donde más de 100.000 mexicanos y mexicanas han muerto y más de 32.000 han desaparecido en los últimos años. Se estima que unos 100.000 migrantes centroamericanos y centroamericanas también han sido asesinados o desaparecidos solo en México.
Due to a lack of political will by the Mexican state, the majority of disappearances of children, men and women have not been investigated, and their bodies have yet not been found, dead or alive. In June, at least 15 people, including teenage girls, were summarily executed by the military in Tlatlaya and accused of being drug traffickers despite contrary proof. On September 26, six people were massacred and 43 young students were disappeared in Ayotzinapa. Mexico is convulsing with death. Our government is financing it. Our media is ignoring it. And migrants continue to come here only to be greeted in disdain. We cry.
The U.S. has access to over 7 military bases. The country has long been the number one client of the School of the Americas, sending over 10,000 troops since 2000 when Plan Colombia was implemented. Colombia now has over 5 million internally displaced persons, the highest number in the world after Syria. The majority of the displaced are indigenous and Afro-Colombians, and many of them were living close to natural resources or other land sought by oligarchs and multinational corporations. Un informe reciente ilustra los más de 6,000 casos de falsos positivos perpetrados por las Fuerzas Armadas colombianas con el fin de aumentar el número de bajas y recibir bonos. Graduados de la Escuela de las Américas suelen estar al mando de unidades ofensivas. Sin embargo, tanto el ejército estadounidense como el Congreso ven a Colombia como ejemplo de éxito. Actualmente Colombia exporta su entrenamiento militar a toda América Latina y el resto del mundo. Clamamos.
Más de 5 años del golpe de Estado en Honduras, propiciado por egresados de la Escuela de las Américas, y tras la consumación del golpe de Estado en las elecciones de todos estos años y que ahora ha impuesto al presidente Juan Orlando Hernández, el Estado de Honduras ha seguido con su política de terror y de violencia contra sus ciudadanas y ciudadanos. La militarización como política de Estado representa hoy más que nunca un mayor peligro para los movimientos sociales y la oposición política. Y esta militarización se ha convertido a Honduras en el país con el más alto nivel de violencia de todo el mundo. Clamamos.
Of society is brought about by the police and the new military police that work at the behest of large landowners. They suppress peasant groups that are protecting their land, as in the cases of the Bajo Juan in the north and Zacate Grande in the south. Yet we cannot forget that one of the intellectual authors of the chaos and destruction in Honduras is the Pentagon, as SOA graduates are at the helm in all branches of the Honduran security forces. We cry, no más, no more, we must stop the dirty war. Los compañeros, compañeros,
no más, no more. In Chile, 41 years after the military coup, there are still many families who are searching for the bodies of the disappeared. Our indigenous people, the Mapuche Nation, is demanding the right to their land and sovereignty, and students continue to call for free and quality education. 41 years after the military coup, the police continue to repress the right of civilians to protest. And the systematic practice of state-sponsored torture continues in prisons. 41 years after the military coup, military personnel continue to be trained at the School of the Americas. Today, some graduates are facing justice in Chile for committing grave human rights violations. We cry.
Mafia has changed the discourse of the World Cup. Brazil's investment of $14 billion in the World Cup has burst to the surface the anger of the masses, for whom the stadiums mean hunger and demolished homes. The FBI has furthered suppression of World Cup opposition by training the Brazilian riot police. Yet, resistance prevails. The displacement of low-income communities to make way for World Cup projects and the mass protests in the streets of Brazil were captured to tape and circulated around the world. Through their mobilization, resistors have overcome the odds, generating discussion about the economic empire by militarized state violence. As the struggle for fair economies continues, we cry,
no mas, no mas.
So there was more and more countries that people talked about. There are a handful of countries, I don't know them offhand, who have withdrawn their students from the School of the Americas and are no longer sending students. Soon the funeral procession started with chanting of the names of some of the victims of graduates of School of the Americas. Pouring rain, and I think there are about 1,000 people gathered with umbrellas and raincoats and hoodies gathered to mourn. The police took refuge in their cars and shelters. Presentes, the Columbus police is raising their sniper tower in front of the KP777 Liquors and Lotto store. It's like comes in on like a trailer towed by a truck, and it's a box maybe 6 feet by 6 feet by 8 feet with windows all around and cameras and lights on the top, and it raises up on a lift about 25 feet high. And I heard that every now and then the door will open and you could see a sniper in there, but haven't actually seen it. So after the crosses were planted at the gate and the funeral procession ended, people danced and chanted. This chanting was actually part of the great puppet show with giant, like, five-person puppets and dragons made of cardboard and stilt walkers. And then there's more chanting at the end. There's a lot of energy.
Ain't no power like the power of the people, because the power of the people don't stop. Ain't no power like the power of the people.
So there's some legislative action. H.R. 2989, the Latin America Military Training Review Act. There's some co-sponsors to this, including our representative, Jim McGovern. But if you know people in other places who want to contact their representatives to sign on to this, that'd be great. There's a list of who has signed on at the SOA Watch website. That's soawatch.org. And I think that's all I have about that.
Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto, me dio dos luceros que cuando los abro perfecto distingo lo negro del blanco y en el alto cielo su fondo estrellado y en las multitudes el hombre que yo amo. Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto, me me ha dado el oído, que en todo su ancho graba noche y día, grillos y canarios, martillos, turbinas, ladridos, chubascos y la voz tan tierna de mi bien amado. Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto, me ha dado el sonido y el abecedario, con él las palabras que pienso y declaro, madre, amigo, hermano y luz alumbrando la ruta del alma del que estoy amando. Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto, me ha dado la marcha de mis pies cansados, con ellos anduve ciudades y charcos, playas y desiertos, montañas y llanos, y la casa tuya, tu calle y tu patio. Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto, me dio el corazón que agita su marco cuando miro el fruto del cerebro humano, cuando miro al bueno tan lejos del malo, cuando miro el fondo de tus ojos claros. Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto, me ha dado la risa y me ha dado el llanto, así yo distingo dicha de quebrantos, los dos materiales que forman mi canto y el canto de ustedes, que es el mismo canto, y el canto de todos, que es mi propio canto. Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto.
That was Violeta Parra with a love song about life. You've been listening to Valley Free Radio, WXOJ 103.3 FM, Northampton. Also streaming online at valleyfreeradio.org. I hope you're having a chance to enjoy the snow and not getting too stressed out about it. I think I'm going to play another song.
Slow day, and the sun was beating on the soldiers by the side of the road. There was a bright light, a shattering of shop windows. The bomb in the baby carriage was wired to the radio. These are the days of miracle and wonder. This is the long distance call. The way the camera follows us in slow-mo,
the way we look to a song, the way we look to a distant constellation that's dying in a corner of the sky. These are the days of miracle and wonder, and don't cry, baby, don't cry, don't cry. It was a dry wind, and it swept across the desert and curled into the circle of blue. And the dead sand falling on the children, the mothers and the fathers and the automatic earth. These are the days of miracle and wonder. This is the long distance call. The way the camera follows us in slow mo. The way we look to us all. Oh yeah. The way we look to a distant constellation that's dying in a corner of the sky. These are the days of miracle and wonder, and don't cry, baby, don't cry, don't cry. It's a turnaround jump shot, it's everybody jump start. It's every generation throws a hero up the pop charts. Medicine is magical and magical is art. Think of the boy in the bubble and the baby with the babbling heart. And I believe these are days of lasers in the jungle. Lasers in the jungle somewhere. Staccato signals of constant information. A loose affiliation of millionaires and billionaires and babies. These are the days of miracle and wonder. This is the long distance call. The way the camera follows us in slow-mo. The way we look to us all, oh yeah. The way we look to a distant constellation that's dying in the corner of the sky. These are the days of miracle and wonder. And don't cry, baby, don't cry, don't cry, don't cry.
That was some Paul Simon. And so since tomorrow's Thanksgiving, I've been thinking a lot about the people that lived here before European settlers came. And I did not get a chance to do as much research as I would have liked on that to share it. But I did have a little interesting thing yesterday. I was on my way back from Georgia, and I was stuck at Port Authority for 6 hours in New York City. So I went to the library. And there was a flyer at the library that said, "Discover the New York City Public Library." And it highlighted a bunch of the things that were there in the Fifth Avenue Library. And one of the things it said they had was the original letter from Columbus about his discovery of the New World. And so I wrote the library a letter suggesting they at least just change the wording to say his arrival at the New World instead of discovering it. Because I think they were trying to play on, you know, the front of the flyer said, "Discover the New York Library." But, like, I think they want their patrons to discover with awe and respect all the amazing resources at the library, which I imagine Columbus must have done when he came to the New World. But I think the library wants their patrons to share those resources well so everyone can use them. Which I don't think Columbus's discovery was quite like that. Anyway, I think it's great to give thanks on Thanksgiving. Just don't confuse humble gratitude with manifest destiny. So I was home in Kentucky last week before I went to Georgia, and I asked some of my family members what they were grateful for. And My mother said,
"The Lord makes me more grateful than anything else. Mountains make me grateful."
And my niece said,
"You."
My nephew Johannin said,
"I'm grateful to know that God is there for me, even when I'm in trouble and I feel like there's no one there."
And then my brother Chris said,
"Well, list is long. The list is long. Oh, I was going to say water. Thankful for water.
That's
I was in Kenya, and you know, the ladies there can travel 4 or 6 hours every single day for water. You know what? And there's water all over this place. Without talking about what's been piped in here, you know, just coming off the mountains here, there's all kinds of water. And it's clean. So yeah, thank you for water."
And I asked my dad, and he said, "Let me get back to you on that." And then a few days later, he sent me this that he had written. This is my housemate Ben Ross.
A Giving Day. "I know it is Thanksgiving, but let's start with Christmas. The most common question people ask on Christmas is, what did you get? The focus becomes one of getting stuff, and if you didn't get what you wanted, then there is trouble and unhappiness. At the same time, we all say Christmas is for giving, not for getting. Thanksgiving turns out to be much the same as Christmas. Many families have the tradition of staying at the table after the big turkey dinner. Each family member has to tell what they are thankful for. It becomes like Christmas as each person gives thanks for the things they got. Even though all the guys may be thankful for the new big screen HDTV in time for the games, most of us include thanks for loving and caring people in our families and community. To state the obvious, if we receive gifts and blessings, then there have to be givers of those things. The Bible says, it is better to give than to receive. So how about being thankful for what we can give? Wouldn't it be wonderful to be a blessing to others? We could give away joy, kindness, respect, peace, courtesy, and love, as well as material things like food, clothing, and money. Why not be thankful for opportunities of giving and sharing? So at your thankful table on Thursday, complete the celebration in this way. First, tell all the blessings you have received. Second, tell how you intend to use your blessings to bless others. How will you share? This makes Thanksgiving into a really serious and challenging day. The Bible says, of the person who has received much, much is expected. Well then, consider carefully the things and people and blessings you list at the dinner table. The more we list, the more responsibility we have for using our peace, food, joy, money, and happiness wisely. Christians are answerable to God.
I'm going to have to cut that short. That is my housemate Ben reading my father, Jim Woodring's, reflections about Thanksgiving this year. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Up at 5 o'clock.